After the rebellion, Jack and Ruby had set up house together, but it didn't last. They were just too different. Their opposing tastes, needs, and characters drove them apart inside a month. His Spartan clashed with her Sybaritic. He wanted to work, she wanted to play. He was a man of duty and honor, and she would rather go shopping. Just because they loved each other, it didn't mean they could live together. And they couldn't spend all their time in bed. Their growing frustrations had finally culminated in a major shouting match, in which they both said unforgivable things and then threw heavy objects at each other. They wrecked their house room by room and then walked out on each other. Once they were set up in separate apartments, a comfortable distance apart, they were soon friends again. Jack didn't blame Ruby in the least. He'd never been easy to get on with, as any of his 7 ex-wives would no doubt have been only too happy to point out, in considerable detail. He looked hopefully at the bedroom door, but there was still no sign of Ruby gracing him with her presence anytime soon. Jack sighed and went back to his brooding. He had a lot to brood about. Once he fought the system, now he was the system. He'd become a politician, setting aside a lifetime's ideals in the name of compromise and making deals with people he detested. He found it frustrating and occasionally sourly amusing that all his marvelous maze-given powers and amazing new youth were useless to him now to get him what he wanted. He could always intimidate his fellow politicians, force things through by the threat of what he might do, but that would betray everything he'd ever believed in. Besides, if he started killing all the people who needed killing, 1, it would take ages, 2, there'd be hardly anyone left in Parliament, and 3, no one would trust him anymore. They certainly wouldn't support him. They'd turn against him for their own protection, and he'd have to go on the run again. And young body or not, he was definitely too old for that. It all came back to the families. Not only were they ceding more and more authority to the shadowy blue bloc, but they clearly weren't keeping to their side of the bargain he'd struck, either the letter or the spirit. He'd always expected them to try to wriggle out of it somehow, but not this soon, not this blatantly. Under Blue Bloc's management, they were openly trying to claw back power and influence on all fronts. Let them try. Let them try anything. He'd see every damned aristo dead and their pastel towers burning before he let the clans reclaim their old power and position. He hadn't come this far, seen so many good friends die to lose at the last fence. Blue Bloc was a puzzle, though. He'd always known it existed, through rumors and whispers and guarded confidences, but no one ever knew anything for sure. They'd never come this far out into the open before. They'd never been this confident. Jack was currently trying, very quietly, very discreetly, and extremely cautiously, to investigate who and what Blue Bloc actually was. Searching for the facts behind the whispered names of the Black College and the Red Church. So far, he had nothing at all to show for his efforts, apart from a few dead contacts. Blue Bloc, the heart and soul of it, stayed so far back in the shadows, it was practically invisible. No one knew anything. No one would talk. Everyone was more than a little scared. Everyone knew someone who'd got too close to some part of the truth and just disappeared. And even Jack Random, with all his influence, couldn't find any trace of them. He scowled unhappily. At the time, the deal he'd made with Blue Bloc had seemed distasteful but necessary, to save not only lives but the whole Empire's economy. Now, he couldn't help wondering if he might not have exchanged an open, obvious evil for a greater, more shadowy one. Blue Bloc had an agenda, even if he couldn't see it clearly yet. It would have helped if there'd been someone he could talk to about it. Someone he could trust. But Owen and Hazel were never there, and Ruby wasn't interested. Jack was disappointed by that, but not surprised. He looked around sharply as the bedroom door finally opened, and Ruby Journey strode into the room. Somewhat to Jack's surprise, she was still wearing her old black leathers under white furs. He'd been a little taken aback to see her wearing that old outfit at Parliament earlier, and that Ruby had taken to high fashion with a vengeance when she came into money, and made a point of never wearing the same daring and highly expensive outfit twice. But here she was again in her bounty hunter's costume, her working clothes, complete with sword and disruptor. She noticed his gaze.
Put your eyes back in your head. I feel more me in this gear, more like the person I used to be.
She stopped in front of the nearest full-length mirror, struck a pose, and nodded approvingly.
How about that? Months of feasting and drinking and everything else that's bad for you, and I haven't put on an ounce. One of the more useful maze side effects. I am in prime shape and ready for anything. If you doubt it, feel free to step right up and I'll deck you.
I'll take your word for it. May I take it your long vacation is over, and you're ready to get back to work?
I'm always up for a little action. Though I have to say, taking on Shub is not what I would have chosen for my comeback.
She turned suddenly to look Jack directly in the eyes.
They were always my worst nightmare. They're about the only thing left that still scares me. What use are all our powers against an enemy like Shub? We can't fight AIs the size of a planet. We're like ants compared to them, just waiting helplessly for the descending boo to the boiling water.
I didn't think anything scared you.
Even I'm sensible enough to be scared of Shub. There's nowhere you can go to be safe from them. Their agents are everywhere. Furies, ghost warriors, secret people whose minds were replaced in the Matrix. You can't trust anyone these days. I was never scared much as a bounty hunter. And after the maze turned me into hell on legs, I thought that was it. I'd made it. I was finally unbeatable, top of the heap, the best. I should have known better. The first thing every fighter learns is that it doesn't matter who you are or how good you are. There's always someone better.
They're just machines.
Jack found himself touched by her rare display of openness and vulnerability.
In the end, that's all they are. And no machine is a match for a human mind. We built them, not the other way around. All right, they're big and they're scary, but don't let them convince you they're something they're not. And on our own, even with our powers, we wouldn't last long against Shub's forces. But we're not alone. We're a part of the Empire now. We stand with humanity. And together we can do anything we put our minds to. Shub is nothing more than a bunch of adding machines with delusions of grandeur.
I wish I could believe that. But they're so big.
Size isn't everything. Jack smiled. And after a moment, Ruby smiled back.
Lionstone's empire was big, but we helped bring it down.
Yes, we did, didn't we? Ha, what the hell. Let's go find some Shub agents and kick some metal ass.
Sounds good to me. But before we go, there's a thing I'd better bring you up to date on. It seems Parliament had a rather special visitor after we left. A very unexpected visitor.
The look on your face tells me this isn't going to be good. But then when is it ever? All right, I'll bite. Who was it? Young Jack Random back from the scrapyard? Valentine Wolf? Lionstone?
Half a man. Or to be exact, the other human side of half a man. The right-hand side of the body, complete with supporting energy half. Just like his predecessor.
You're kidding.
I wish I was.
Now that really is going to complicate things.
You have no idea. Luckily, Toby and Flynn were there to catch it all on camera, and the recording's been running on one news show or another ever since. If you'd care to tune in that wall over there, you can see it for yourself.
Ruby activated the holoscreen and had it search for the recording. It took a second or two to find a station that was just starting the holo, and then the screen cleared to show Parliament, not long after most of the main power brokers had left. And then, there was a sudden flash of light, a blinding glare so bright it overloaded the camera lens, and when the glare faded away, half a man was standing in the middle of the floor before the house. There was an immediate babble of surprise and outrage from the MPs, dying quickly away as they recognized who it was. There was then an extended silence as they realized that the figure wasn't exactly who they thought it was, being rather a mirror image of the half a man they knew. This figure's right half was flesh and blood, while its left was a shimmering, spitting energy construct in human shape. Everyone knew the terrible history of Captain Fast, who became half a man. Abducted by unknown aliens from the bridge of his own starship, he was experimented on and tortured for years, and finally returned as he was now. Half human, half something else. He lived for centuries, guiding the Empire in its dealings with aliens, for who knew better than he the risks and threats involved. Named half a man by the tabloid press of the day, he retired from public scrutiny and founded and trained the Investigators. He represented the strong arm of the Empire, implacable and unforgiving. He was finally killed by Owen Deathstalker, during the rebellion. Or at least, his left side was. Now his other human half was back, looking calmly about him, taking in the startled faces on all sides of the house. With only half a face, it was hard to tell whether he was smiling, but he might have been. His cold voice carried loud and clear in the quiet.
I am half a man. The real half a man. The real Captain Fast. The creature you previously knew and harbored with that name was a fake and a deceiver. I am the real thing. Finally escaped from inhuman captors to bring you vital news and a terrible warning.
There was a long pause after that, as everybody looked at each other and waited for someone else to work out what to say. Finally, Toby Schreck stepped cautiously forward, Flynn right there beside him, his camera hovering above their heads to get the best shot, sending it all out to a fascinated live audience. Toby stopped what he hoped was a safe distance away and gave the partly shimmering figure his best professional smile.
Welcome back, Captain Fast, from wherever you've been. I'm sure you'll understand if we're all a little confused. Perhaps you'd be so good as to fill us in on the true story of Half a Man.
The human half of the face regarded him coldly.
I am aware of how your forebears hounded and persecuted my predecessor. I trust things have changed since then.
Oh, sure. Just take your time. Tell it in your own words, and don't leave out any of the juicy details.
That's enough! As Speaker of this House, I declare this a security matter. Stop recording now! All your data will be confiscated before you leave.
Get bent. We're going out live. This is too important to be filed under need to know. The people have a right to the truth. We're not living in the old empire anymore, with its paranoia, mysteries, and secrets. We've moved beyond that. Keep filming, Flynn.
I'm on it, boss.
Gutman gestured urgently, and a large number of security guards ran forward, swords and guns at the ready. They formed a semicircle, fanning around Half a Man and Toby and Flynn. Toby did his best to look unconcerned, and quietly thanked God that they were going out live. Gutman wouldn't dare have him shot in front of millions of viewers. At least, Toby didn't think he would. The old Gutman wouldn't have hesitated, but as Speaker, he was now a public figure, reliant on public goodwill. Toby just hoped Gutman knew that.
Enough. I wish this to be broadcast. The whole Empire must know what I have to tell.
The security guards looked at Half a Man, then at Gutman, and finally at each other. The original Half a Man had been thought unkillable, until the Deathstalker managed it, and no one was entirely sure how he'd done it anyway. The original Half a Man had also been known for his extremely short temper, and a complete readiness to kill anyone who got in his way. The guards started lowering their weapons. Gutman quickly decided to make the best of a bad situation, and gave in gracefully.
Of course, you must tell your story, Captain Fast. I'm sure the whole Empire is dying to hear what you have to say.
Good, for it concerns the fate of every living creature in the Empire.
He looked straight into the camera, ignoring the politicians.
The imposter told you some of the truth. I was abducted and remade by aliens, but I was split in two to produce a pair of the unnatural thing you see before you. In my other self, the alien mind dominated the meld. An alien will move that body, and an alien intelligence spoke through its mouth. It told you carefully tailored lies to hide the real truth, the real dangers from you. The aliens you have encountered till now are nothing to the real enemy that lies waiting. There's something alive in the dark void, something old and powerful and horribly evil. They call themselves the Recreated, and soon they will come out of the dark void and destroy everything that lives.
What exactly are the Recreated?
Horrible beyond imagining. Powerful beyond hope or sanity. Alien to everything you know or understand as life. They died and brought themselves back to life. They are eternal now. And soon, they will come for you all.
But if they can't die, or death doesn't stop them, why would they want to bother with something as small as us?
Your deaths will fuel their mighty engines. Your final suffering, extended across centuries, will power their machines. And your screaming souls will be a comfort to them. They are of the darkness and cannot bear the light. so they will snuff it out wherever they find it, and plunge the whole universe into an endless night. And they will rule the dark forever.
How the hell are we supposed to fight something like that?
Half the man looked at him for the first time.
You can't.
That's the gist of it. After that, it was just a lot of arguing and panicking and running round in circles. Half a man, if that's who he really is, finally allowed the guards to lead him away for a thorough debriefing, hopefully including where the hell he's been all this time. I understand he's being held in some top-secret laboratory where the Empire's finest scientists are running all kinds of tests on him to make it look like Parliament's doing something. Last I heard, the MPs were still sitting at the House calling for more and more expert opinions and scaring themselves silly.
If this half a man isn't who or what he says he is, then what the hell is he? A Fury?
Good question. But I don't think even the rogue AIs have the tech to produce a living energy field like that. The Empire had access to the original half a man for centuries, and never did work out what made him tick.
But if he is the real thing, then his message must be true too.
Not necessarily. All those years of captivity and torture could have turned his mind. Or he could have all kinds of reasons for lying. He never said a word about where he's been, who exactly was holding him captive, or how he finally escaped. Did the aliens have him, or the recreated? How could he have got away from beings of such power? He's already admitted that an alien intelligence spoke through the original half a man. Maybe when that toy got broken, its makers just sent us another. No, there's a lot we're not being told. And until we know more, I don't think we should put an awful lot of faith in the message, or the messenger.
He was right about there being something alive in the dark void. Don't you think we should...
No, I don't. We have our own mission. Let's not get distracted. Right now, we need to discover just how badly Shub has its hooks into us. Anything else can wait until we have more detailed and trustworthy information to work with.
I don't like any of this. I can't help feeling that whatever we do, we're getting way out of our depth.
If not us, then who? We have a lot more going for us than anyone else.
You always were the brains of the couple. I just like to kill people. So, where do we start?
With Robert Campbell, newly appointed captain of the Elemental. His family was known to have dealings with Shub before the Wolves destroyed the Campbells in a very hostile takeover. Let's see what Robert can tell us about it.
And if he doesn't want to talk to us?
Then you get to play with him for a bit. Try not to break him too badly.